Blog Talk Radio.
Can't stay away from you too long. Even if I do, I'll always call. Checking on you, make sure you're okay. Be the one to brighten up your day. Yeah, yeah, and the point of it all, I love you. Yeah, you know I love you, baby. Oh, my days seem long whenever we're apart. Like someone has stolen away my heart. You're a major part of my life. And no matter what the storm may bring, I'm fine with you. And the point of it all, I love. And the reason for it all, I love.
Shalom, shalom, everyone. Thank you for coming today. Shalom, shalom. We had a beautiful time yesterday. This is me, Yaina. We're here today. I think class went wonderful yesterday. I had a wonderful time. I learned a lot, you know, and we're getting ready for 2019. I thank you all who came on the call last night that was on the meeting call that we had yesterday. I think it went very, very well. We're in the process of putting some things together. We didn't reach our goal like we thought we were going to be able to, but we're definitely going to put the fielders out there today as we go along with the show. You know, it's so many things we can talk about. I mean, you know, with this government shutdown and all of this, where we did get the paperwork for the building today for the place, our plan B. So we're working on that right now, and that will be going out on Wednesday. So we're going to wait till after the first of the year. Hopefully the government shutdown will be over, because they definitely had a notice that if we are, as we're still in the government shutdown, a lot of those places will not be available until they do whatever it is that they do. President Trump said he's still not signing nothing. He's going to still keep the freeze on the federal workers until 2019, you know, which I think it really is terrible that we have gone, you know, to this. It's been 8 days. They got a countdown on CNN. 8 days, 15 hours, 35 minutes, 47 seconds. These people won't have a paycheck. They got to go to work and not get paid. I think it's just absolutely terrible, you know. And what is it going to do? You know, well, they're going to pay them. I can't see them not paying them. But still, who wants to go to work and you don't get no paycheck when payday comes? That's ridiculous. I mean, that's enough right there to say forget that. I mean, you know, and no excuses when it comes time to give it all to us either. We want it all up front, you know. It's just a terrible situation that we're in, you know, to see what's going on. I think the hardest thing for me is knowing that this has to happen, but watching it happen is not easy to watch, you know, because when you really begin to process how many people are going to be affected by this and how many people are really prepared for this, you know, it's very, very difficult, you know. And I think that's what I wanted to talk about today. You know, I just wanted to ask how everybody is doing, you know, because we bombard you with a lot of material. We have been on this radio show for many, 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 many years. We have given out all kind of information. You know, we've had encouraging shows. We've had emotional shows. We've had shows where we've laughed, and we've done all kind of stuff. You know, but sometime with this knowing, you know, what's going to happen and trying to somewhat prepare yourself, you know, for what's going to happen. In between family members who don't want to listen and people that you're trying to get to understand come overwhelming. It can really be overwhelming, you know, and then you find yourself, you're the only one in your family that's conscious. You're the only one that's awake, and everybody else is looking at you like you have lost your mind. You have completely gone against the norm. You don't go to church no more. You know, you're on your way to hell as far as they're concerned. You know, and it can be a bit much, especially for the new people, because I have to always remember, and some of the older people that's been on here for a minute. And when I say older, that means you've just been awake a lot longer than some people. We're not talking about age. We're talking about the age of enlightenment when the Most High opened up your eyes. You know, and it's a lot, you know, to have to go through it. You know, it's a lot to be the odd man out. It's a lot to become the black sheep because you're not following the norm. You know, it's a lot, you know, because I'm from a very large family. Like I told you guys yesterday, we thought we was rich, but we was rich in family. You know, and now everybody has gotten older. You know, the older people are older. And now we are becoming the older people in the family, you know. And as we look back, as everybody begins to get older, some people are dying off, you know, and some people are doing, they living their life and they doing their thing. And you don't want to help your family members perish. You don't want to see anybody not make it. But you know, the truth of the matter is that Yah woke you up. You know, He woke you up, and He's the one who opened up your eyes. And you can't open up anybody else's eyes. He has to do that. And the fact that He is leaving them asleep, you know, it can be burdensome on the heart, because you want them to survive. You want them to make it, you know. But sometimes, I you know, we just forget to ask how you all are doing, you know, and you know, how you are faring emotionally. You know, some people are in a relationship where their husbands are not awake. Some people are in relationships where their wives are not awake. You know, you don't know how many people have called me and said, well, should I leave my wife? You know, and my answer is no. You know, I'm not going to tell you to leave your husband or your wife. But we're so different, you know, and that's what I was talking about yesterday with the religious fanatic. You know, when everybody comes in here and they want to be like, okay, I'm going to do this exactly right because I don't want any problems we got. I want him to know that I love him 100%, and I want him to know that I'm 100% in this thing, and and nobody around me can do anything wrong, because if they do anything wrong, I'm going to have to cut them off, you know. And when I see that in people, I have to say, look, you know, that's unrealistic. That's not living. You're going to make some mistakes. You're going to mess up sometimes. You know, sometimes it's not going to be perfect. You know what I'm saying? You just have to live each day with a sincere heart, you know, to do the best you can. But, you know, you can't, this is a lot of information to take. This information has turned our world upside down. Our reality changed in a moment. You know, the things that some of us were living a normal life. We were satisfied with education and, okay, we're going to better ourselves, we're going to get an education, which means we're going to get a better job, we're going to make more money, we're going to buy us a bigger house, we're going to get a nicer, we're going to be able to take a few vacations, we're going to grow old, and we're going to leave a legacy for our children. And that was enough. You know, so they can say, okay, this is what, and we taught our children to do this. You know, this is enough. And it was like, okay, that's cool, I can do that. You know, that's a normal way to live. I'm going to go to church. I'm going to be the best person I can be in church. And when I die, I'm going to go to heaven. I'm going in the rapture. And I've made it. I have arrived. And that was our story. But the Most High came around one day and just knocked like, hello, that's not the story. And he shocked everybody. Wait. Hold on. What do you mean that ain't the story? He said, that's not the story. That's the story I allowed you to see. He said, let me show you the real story. And boy, when he took the blinders off, everybody has been trying to adjust to the new reality that we live in. You know, and you have to go through an adjustment period. You know, there's a period where you say, okay, I ain't for no foolishness, no nonsense. I've been tricked one time. I ain't going to be tricked again. You know what I'm saying? And then you go on this quest for knowledge. You know, okay, I got to know the truth. I want to know exactly what the truth is. I don't want nobody telling me nothing else but the truth, and I ain't falling for nothing else. And then you start looking for truth. And, you know, but little do we know, the devil is in truth too sometimes. He mixes a little lie in with the truth. Anything to get you thrown off. You know, and then when the people around you are looking at you like, what's happened to you? What's wrong with you? And you got so much information going on in your mind at one time, you just want to tell them, but you don't know how to tell them. And when you open up your mouth, all kind of stuff just start running out. And, you know, we the people, and, you know, this ain't our land, and, you know, this ain't our land. And the people that you're giving this information to is trying to process all of this at the same time. And it's just an environment that you've created chaotic because their eyes are not open. You know, and there's nothing you can do to get them to see. That's just at level one. We're just dealing with level one right now because there's many other levels that you have to grow to. But at ground zero, when you get to the point where you know, you say, okay, I know I'm an Israelite. I know our ancestors came over here on the boat, and I know that this is not our land, and I know that the reality that I was living is not the right reality. Then you have to turn around and try to readjust to create a new normal. You say, okay, this is going to be my new normal. I'm going to make sure I'm going to keep the Sabbath. I'm going to make sure I don't break no laws. I'm going to do the best I can. What I'm working with until y'all come and get me. I don't want to have nothing to do with nobody else. I don't want to deal with none of this other stuff. I just want to go to work, come home, and do what I'm supposed to. We have all done it that has been there. We've all made that decision. I got a process. I believe that ground zero, that's your processing point, where you got to process it all. Okay. So now I know that this is what it is. you know, and I know God doesn't play, you know. And then you have to go to the point where you realize that Yah is the one who put you here, you know, and then you got to process that. And then when you finish processing that, then you got to process the fact that not only did he put you here, but you're in an environment that does not promote Yah. And then you got to process that. But you got to function still now. You still got to go to work. You still got to come home from work. If you in a marriage, you still got to participate in that. You still got to cook. You got to take care of your children. I mean, do you understand how this can be a lot? Just at ground zero. So I said all that to say this. Try not to get overwhelmed. You know, I know your mind is going 100 miles a minute. Okay, I got it. Okay. Let me think about this. Okay. So the Bible is our history book now. Okay, so I can read this history book and I can find myself in this, but I still ain't got all the truth because I want truth. So you go searching for truth. And you go in, you're reading all kind of materials and you're bringing all this stuff in and you're trying to make all this stuff stick. My advice to you today is just relax. Just take a deep breath and relax. Because sometimes, you know, it's nothing wrong with finding an outlet that you enjoy doing that gives you a moment to step away from it all. There's nothing wrong with that. You know, it's not a sin in playing baseball. It's not a sin in going out playing basketball. It's not. It's nothing. Sin is the transgression of the law. And sometimes we just have to take a deep breath. We have to back up from it and just relax. Because the one thing that I've learned is that Yah is going to be Yah anyway, no matter what happens. And he don't want you losing your mind in the process. You know, and the beautiful part about this is, you know, we have an expected end. And he's made a way of escape for us. You know, and it's not going to be perfect. Everybody's not coming. We're not going to be able to do the things that we want to do in terms of our family members. You know, and I know that's kind of difficult. But at the same time, we have to learn how to trust Yah. And in trusting him, we learn that he's in control of it all. And he knows what's on your heart. He knows who you love. He knows that they love you, but they don't know how to deal with you now because you're a whole totally different person. I know because I took my uncle through it. When he was the first one in our family that woke up. And he would never say anything. He would just watch. You know, and we would come in from church, all half of church, speaking in tongues, shouting all day. And we just looked at him like he was the poor little lost child who didn't know what was going on. And he would never say anything. You know, he wouldn't. We respected the fact that he kept the Sabbath and nobody bothered him on his Sabbath. And he read the Bible because he wasn't technical savvy to the point where he could do anything with a computer. But everybody respected what he believed. But he never forced it on anyone. You know, he never forced anything on me. He just used to watch me. Sometimes he would just laugh. He would snicker to himself. He wouldn't say anything. And when he died, I think he was 63, but he wouldn't say anything. And I remember when the Most High opened up my eyes and we were at a Thanksgiving dinner. My grandmother would have Thanksgiving and everybody would come over. And we were sitting in the chair in the living room next to each other. And I made a comment, and he turned around and he said, "Oh, so your eyes is being open." And I said, "Boy." He said, "Mm-hmm." He said, "Well," he said, "I'm going to tell you this." He said, "It's just like an onion." And I know I say this all the time. He said, "Just keep on peeling the layers back. The more you learn, the more you're going to peel those layers back, and the more you're going to learn, and the more you're going to see." He said, "And your eyes is going to be open." You know? And I had a cousin that had married one of the people from the other nations, and they were sitting there. And he looked at her, he said, "You know you weren't supposed to do that, don't you?" And the man immediately spoke up. He said, "Oh, but over in Christianity, we don't deal with that because in Christianity, we all one." He said, "No, you're not." And he looked at her and he said, "You know you weren't supposed to do that, don't you?" And at that moment, the tension got so thick, I had to kind of do some damage control, like, well, it's done now. I mean, you know, there's nothing that we can really do about it. He's family now. I mean, you know, she married him. That's her husband. You know, and you could see in her eyes that she knew, in her heart, according to the word, that she wasn't supposed to do that. But, you know, she did it. Some people are in that situation. Some people have married people of the other nation. And in your heart, you love that person. But the more you learn, the more you realize that under normal circumstances and what the Most High calls normal, and what I mean normal is knowing who you are, knowing whose you are, and knowing what tribe you're from, that is totally not allowed. So what do? You're looking at this person from the other nation. You have children by these people. You love this person. And then all of a sudden you wake up, and the Most High, you're in a situation. And boy, what a situation it is. How do you address that? How do you handle a situation like that? And I'm just throwing out different scenarios because we're all in some sort of a scenario that we have to deal with every day on top of learning, on top of knowing, on top of dealing with this, on top of getting ready for 2019, on top of it all. We do it. And we sit there and be like, man, this is a lot. And it is. I'm not going to tell you it's not. But guess what? We haven't even scratched the surface yet. Ain't nothing really happening yet other than the fact that we're waking up. And we're seeing a little preview of what the Most High getting ready to do. But really, in all actuality, we're really not really being bothered by anything yet. You know, but the truth of the matter is, you know, he's getting us prepared for what's coming because it's coming. You know, but on top of that, you got to be able to deal with all that. And sometimes you don't want to go to work. Sometimes you just want to stay in the house with the door shut. Just leave me alone. Let me deal with all this. I want to be able to deal, but we can't do that because that's not feasible. We have to be able to eat every day. You got to have a job. And then when you go to work, that's a whole other environment. Because as you walk into that same place of business where you have worked some people for 20 years, you're a totally different person now. They're looking at you crazy. Like, what's wrong with her? What you mean you ain't going to the bar no more with us? We all hang out for happy hour. What's up with that? What? You don't do Christmas? What? Why? Why you don't celebrate Christmas? You used to. I bought you something last year. You got to deal with that. You know, on top of everything else. You know, and then it brings you to the scripture that says, where much is given, much is required. And sometimes it's much. It's like, boy, we're going to get there. You know, but evidently, it's something in you that the Most High saw that he knew you could deal with it. Because if you wouldn't, he would have never woke you up. He could have stayed asleep. You know, because when I was giving all this information to my mom, Her thoughts out of her mouth was, I could have, they didn't even have to have me be born. I didn't even have to come in here for all this. They could have left me where I was, you know. And she opted out not to deal with it anymore. So this is where we are today. And I want to open it up for you all to be able to tell me how you feel. You know, because a lot of people call me offline, oh, Diana, I'm going through it. You know, and other people need to hear that, you know, because it's not going to be a perfect environment. We don't have to be perfect. All we have to do is make an effort and be Israel. And we do the best we can until God makes it plain what he wants us to do. You know, because we got a lot of political analysts on this line, you know, and a lot of historical specialists on this line that could take us back and tell us all kind of stuff from the things that they've read out of a book. They can. You know, they can break down some of them have the ability, so they say, to be able to break down who the other people are and where they came from and how they got here. So they say. But at the end of the day, the Most High told us to be Israel, and that's what we have to be. And we don't have to really go through all the changes unless you want to. And one thing I liked about the class yesterday is because we learned something about them. We learned something very specific about Yah yesterday. And that way, and I ain't even going to tell you what I learned. If somebody want to push one, what was the most significant thing that you learned about the Most High yesterday? Because it seems like it's a repetitive behavior or the way that he conducts himself that we can read down through the scriptures and it happens just like that all the time when it comes to the children of Israel. You know, and when you understand what we have learned or what we learned yesterday, you understand that nobody else can be us. Nobody else can be us. And right there, that causes another issue. Because everybody else wants to understand where they fit. There's something very significant about us as a people. And we don't even want to embrace that because we've been on the bottom for so long that we got comfortable down here. He's like, okay, they don't like us. I can roll with that. I mean, you know, I'm doing pretty good. I'm making $50,000, $60,000 a year. I'm hanging in there. I can live off of this. This ain't no big deal. My children are away. I'm good. You know, the people that I'm around, I work with, I like them. We can keep going, you know, and we can keep doing it the way we're doing it. You know, until one day the Most High come a knocking and he wakes you up. And then you're not that same person. We don't understand how powerful we are. We don't understand this. You know, so, I mean, you know, don't everybody jump at once. If somebody want to push one, I mean, I want to know what you got out of it yesterday because I think it was an excellent plan. You know, when we can stay focused on what he's trying to tell us, you know, because we want to get deep. And sometimes the scriptures are just explaining themselves. It's just simple what he said, you know, and what he was trying to tell us yesterday so we could see how he operates when it comes to the punishment of his children. You know, because somebody told me we've been in 13 captivities, 13 different ones. But this is the last one. It ain't going to be no more after this. So, I mean, you know, if somebody wants to do that, if you can push one, just tell me what you think. You know, what did you think about the class? What did it offer in terms of understanding God? Because we never knew him before. We didn't understand this one, and not this Elohim. Nobody told us about this one. Because see what they did in Christianity, they separated this one from the New Testament God. They said, Jesus has changed my mind about the God of the Old Testament. They're like, the Old Testament God was just too harsh to deal with. So then Jesus, I'm just telling you what they say in the church, came on the scene and he straightened all that out and showed us a new way. Well, guess what? There's nothing new under the sun. Not new. There's nothing that we're dealing with that's new. We got to come to the reality that this is what it is. And this is who it is. You know, and understanding that when we're dealing with the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, our Elohim, when we're dealing with him and we are the children of Israel, he conducts himself totally different than he does with the people of the other nations. But to let them tell it, they grasp it in. They spiritual Israel. Woo! And they're going to get the same benefit. And one day I'm going to do a teaching on Paul because I really think it's a plot twist in there with that one right there. I really got an issue with that. I mean, knowing y'all, and I'm trying to get to knowing, you know, so that I don't make the mistake and overthink myself or to try to overthink him, you know, but understanding this thing right here, you know, the way he operates with the other nations is completely different. You know, so I just, let me open up to my area code 928, your mic is open. You know, I mean, what is your thoughts? What do you think?
I just feel like, you know, what I learned was he doesn't change. He doesn't change. He has a special kind of love for Israel. And you're right, we just need to be patient. He doesn't change. He's very methodical. Everything was done the same way. And just keeps happening, but we try to rush stuff.
We do. I agree with you there. We do rush because we want out, you know. But before we knew this was okay. Before we knew anything about Israel, this was okay. This was the lifestyle we was living, and this is how it was going to be. But now that we know, now we want out. You know, and I think that a lot of people are anxious and overly excited about the fact that we have an expected end, but they want it right now. And I'm glad you brought that up, because Malka and I were talking today, and she says, well, what happens if 2019 come and we do all that and it go, and 2020 come and we do and we still ain't gone nowhere, and 2021 come and nothing has happened, and 2022 come and nothing has changed, and 2023 come and nothing has happened. What do we do? I said,
hold fast
to your job. Say again.
Yeah. I just said, hold fast to y'all. You know, we're not saying that we going anywhere or anything going to change. This is just about apologizing for what we've done.
Yeah. And some people want it right now. They want it right now. I want him to come and get me right now. I want out right now. I want it to happen right now. And that goes back to those 7 days that we were talking about. There is a period,
mm-hmm.
after everything is said and done, you got to wait.
Mm-hmm.
I said, well, if we're leaving with great wealth, like he said, we was going to come out with great, something has got to change for that to be able to happen.
Yep.
No, but I just want, I'm, and the reason why I'm bringing this up is because I don't want people to get to the point where the naysayers say, well, you ain't went nowhere yet. I thought y'all was going to be gone. You went through all that stuff and did all that stuff, and you don't eat pork no more, and you don't do none of that, and you still here. It's 2025. I thought he was coming to get you. Because that's coming if we don't leave. Everybody's watching.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when I tell you everybody, I mean all around the world is watching and waiting. I remember when we went to Washington, D.C. the first time. The whole purpose for going to Washington, D.C. on the grounds of the Capitol the first time was because we found out that there was an exemption status given to the Amish and different people, so that when the Obamacare came on the scene, they wouldn't have to be a part of it, because according to the Obamacare documents, that there was a chip involved in Obamacare that the people would have to take eventually. So we decided that we were going to do a march on Washington, D.C., because we weren't privy to that information as being Hebrew Israelites. And the Amish were exempt from Obamacare because they considered themselves to be, the government considered themselves to be a group of people who paid their bills. They didn't have to worry about them not paying their bills. So we made this big campaign, and we was going to Washington, D.C. I remember we called all of the HBCU colleges, and I personally was talking to the presidents of the black colleges, and you know, we wanted them to come, and we put out fires, and we went through the whole nine. You know how many people it was?
Mm-hmm.
It was eight.
How many?
Eight.
Wow. Wow.
But the kicker was, is that when we got there, I never forget it, the way that the dome is on the Capitol building, I'm very observant, but the way that the dome was on the Capitol building, those are offices in that circular dome. And they have a balcony that they can come out of their offices on, and they can look over. And I remember that these two men were standing outside of their office on the balcony waiting for the Israelites to show up. And when they did, the look that was on their face, like, I knew they wasn't coming. And they shook their head and walked in the office. They did.
Wow.
In other words, we did a good enough job on them. They ain't going to do nothing.
That was just eight people
showed up. Now, we did what we came to do, and we did the thing that the Most High wanted us to do. And I see you, Brother Dunia. We did what that we came to do, but the thing was, it was, is that, you know, as we begin to move closer to the end of this thing, it's going to take some faith. It's going to take some trust in God. And Malcolm was like, well, what if we go through all this and it only be 12 people? Out of the long list of people that you got, that's the register for this thing, that claim they understand and know the importance of it all, that it's only 12 people. I said, then it'll just be.
Mm-hmm.
But I, you know, you say all that to say that as we move closer, and we 8 months out to the end of this thing, you know, some people have built up an expectation that at this moment we're going to be leaving. The scriptures don't say that. It doesn't even promote that. It doesn't suggest that. And as much as we're ready to go, because everybody's ready to go, as much as we're ready to go, we cannot overstep. We have to wait on Yah. You know, and that is the biggest thing that I think that, you know, understanding what we learned yesterday is that there is a process. And every time when he put us in that Babylonian captivity, he told us how long we were going to be there. He told us to get comfortable. He told us your deliverance is not going to truly come until the beginning of the Medes and the Persians. And everybody was waiting on it to happen during that Babylonian moment. And in a night, in one night, the whole situation changed. You know, so now we're in this captivity, and we got so many people that come up against what we're doing. I see you, Brother Tony, I'm kind of, we got so many people that don't believe it's a 400-year captivity that I always hear Brother Tony, I say, well, which one is this then? Which one is this? And they don't want to accept it for whatever reason, and I don't really deal with that because it's irrelevant at this point, you know, because the people who know and are willing, and they know and they're coming. But for us, and I'm just talking to us today, we have got to study ourselves, and we've got to get to the point where we can deal with whatever, because if it doesn't happen when we want it to happen, we still got to believe that it's going to happen, and we got to remember those 7 days.
Yeah.
That there is a period where with Yah, we're going to test your faith, because he's got to deal with the nation that has held us captive. And we have to sit still so that we can see the process of him judging the nation that has held us captive. Let me open up the mic. Brother Donnie, your mic is open. Hello? We can't hear you. I don't know what happened to his phone, but I'll just leave this mic open. But, yeah, I mean, you know, and that is the thing, and I think for a lot of people, that's the hardest part. That is the hardest part for a lot of us, because we want it right now. We look at the, I see you, Brother Kevin, we look at the examples of the other time, and we got to be like, well, in that time he did it like this, and in that time he did it just like this. But this time is the last time, and he's going to do it in a way that everybody's going to know he did it. Area code 774, your mic is open.
Shalom, how's it going?
Shalom, Brother Kevin.
Can you hear me? Hey, yes, Shalom, sir. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the question you asked earlier about, you know, what one of the things we learned from yesterday, and, you know, I want to touch on a little bit of what you just said as far as, you know, he's a God that changes not, you know, and we see that, you know, when they came out of Babylon, he told them exactly what he was going to do. And they went into Babylon, and they came out after 70 years, just the way he said it. And so, you know, we see through some of the other scriptures that he said he's going to come and rescue us after he scattered us into all of the world, the four corners of the earth. And so when we look at that, you know, you said earlier that you got a problem with the rapture and with some of Paul's teaching and stuff like that. And, you know, it's one of those things where you got to ask yourself, obviously, that there's something that we're missing. You know, there's something, you know, like you said, we were taught one way to believe, you know, a certain way in Christianity, and we're seeing now that based on what the scriptures are saying, something's not right. Those can't be the people that's going to be grafted in. There is no rapture because he tells us that he's coming back to get us, to take us back into the land. And so we got to ask ourselves, what is this this crossroad that we're at? You know, and it's one of those things where when I look at it, I see the disparity is the fact that we're in our captivity and we're serving. Now, when I say we, I'm saying the majority of people and the people that's in Christianity and even some Hebrew Israelites. We are serving the God of the people who brought us into captivity. And I believe that's what the missing link is. You know, he told us in Deuteronomy 28 that we would go into captivity to a people and we would serve their God. And so, you know, it's one of those things where you have to take a step back and look and you know, reassess, you know, some of the things that we've been taught because, you know, he's a God that can't lie. And so when you look at it, I was just looking at it this morning. You look at Deuteronomy 28, verse 47 and 48. It says, because thou servest not the Lord thy God with joyfulness and with gladness of heart for the abundance of all things. So what does it mean to serve the Lord? To serve the Lord means you observe his commandments, his laws, and his statutes. Don't eat certain foods. Observe the Sabbath. Observe his holy days, his feast days. That's what it means to serve the Lord. So look at what the next verse says. Therefore shalt thou serve thy enemies, which the Lord shall send against thee in hunger and in thirst and in nakedness and in want of all things, and he shall put a yoke of iron upon your neck. So what does it mean to serve the enemy? That means we're going to do their holy days or holidays. We're going to eat their foods, pig and pork and shellfish and crab and all types of stuff, and we're going to serve their God. That's what it means. And so when you get down to verse 64, he tells you, and you shall serve, and the Lord shall scatter thee among all people from one end of the earth to the other, and there you shall serve other gods. Well, there you have it. And so I personally believe that that's the missing link between understanding what we learned yesterday. You know, he's a God that changed not. He sends us into captivity, and then he comes back and gets us, the same God. He's not going to send somebody else to do anything for us. It's going to be him. And so, and this is my last point. And so we heard the saying that we've been in 13 captivity, but some of those weren't captivities. They were simply oppression, like in the book of Judges, when the Moabites oppressed us, you know. And so we have to reassess the difference between a captivity and a oppression. And so, you know, it's something that we need to really take a hard look at and reassess what we're learning in the Old Testament, this God who tells us to stand still and let him do it, whereas there's another version where a God's going to do something totally different. So I kind of just wanted to put that out there. That's my two cents.
Okay. All right, we appreciate that. That's fair. I mean, you know, like I said, it is the ability to say those things, and this is what this show is all about, having the ability to say the things that you feel like is on your heart, and, you know, and to lay it out there the way it is, and that's just the way it is. I mean, you know, this is a situation where, like I said, I've been around a while. I haven't been around as long as Brother Donia has been around, but I've been around a while, and I've had the experience to a lot of different groups. A lot of the groups that you see on YouTube, I've been in contact with those leaders. I've talked to those men, a lot of them. You know, some of the groups you've never heard of. I've been on conference calls, and I've been on debates, and I've been there. I've just been listening. You know, and I've watched a lot of things, you know, and, you know, as a nation, we are definitely a sick nation. We have definitely been put through the ringer, you know, and no one group is right or wrong. You know, it is a people that has been spoiled. And the Most High said, every nation that has come up around us has spoiled us. And none has said save or deliver. They have taken advantage of us as a people, you know. And Brother Donia said something that was very, very, very important, the hangings. And after the multiple rapes and after the molestation of children and after the murdering of our family members and after, you know, treating us like animals, nobody offered us any sort of counsel. No one said, you know, we need to do something for these people to be able to function normally. They just threw us out there. And they could say, okay, we're going to give you one to be equal. We're going to give you a job. We're going to do what it is that we do. Here you go. And I think that it was we have exhibited some amazing resilience to be able to come up like we have and make lemonade out of lemon peels. You know what I'm saying? My grandma said, you can't eat pork. That's all we had to eat. So does the Most High damage them because that's all they gave them? Were they supposed to starve to death? They didn't know no better. She said, that's all we had. They threw us to scraps. She said, the children, they used to throw them out, and we used to go dig them out of the trash and clean them and boil them and cook them. And now you can go to the grocery store and buy them in a bucket. She said, that's all they gave us, you know, until we started growing our own stuff when we was on the farm. And then that was even limited to how much we could have. You know, we did the best we could for what we had to work with. And she said, shit, I'm 90-something years old. I don't need it all. Now you're talking about we can't eat it. You know, that's just how they thought. That generation that came out of that picked cotton, you know, because my grandmother told I wasn't out there. My grandfather gets you a lie and you was out there picking cotton with the rest of them. You try to act like you was one of them uppity niggas in the house. Cook, clean, you was in the field with the rest of them. And to hear your grandparents talk like that. You know, I mean, as a people, I think it's amazing that we have made it thus far. The things that we have had to endure. So, I mean, you know, I receive what you're saying. I mean, you know, you're entitled to feel the way you feel. You know, but I believe a little bit different. I believe that, you know, just like he didn't hold the Chipmunks against them eating it, you know, he's not holding the fact that we came on the ship, the good ship Jesus, and came on following Jesus when we got here. He knew all of this was going to happen. I believe he knew all of this was going to happen. And as a people, it happened. I mean, you just can't get, I mean, the black church is one of the largest entities in this country. And they have made a statement to the point where they matter. So, I mean, you know, as you look at all these things, you have to understand, like he told them in the Babylonian captivity, get comfortable. Build you some houses. Have some kids. Do what you need to do so the nation don't diminish, you know, because you're going to find your peace. And I believe that that's what our people did in the midst of all of this, when we found a little bit of peace because we got comfortable with where we was. You know, and it's only when he came and disrupted that peace that everybody's looking around and trying to find a solution as to how this can be a better movement or a better nation if we all come on one accord, and that will never happen. That not when it comes to belief. But I believe that when
another thing we got to keep in mind too is never going to happen because there's a people void of understanding that will not let it happen until he comes back and deliver us. You know, and that's what he told us. You know, these people are people that are void of understanding, are no people. You know, they can't understand right from wrong. And they're wicked. And so they won't leave us alone. That's part of our problem.
That's true. I mean, I can agree with that to a point, too. I mean, you know, there are people that are wicked. You know, and that there are some that are wicked, and there are some who are truly trying to be the best that they know how to be according to what they've been taught. Because we all been given a bag of good, because clearly the scripture says even for the Gentile, they are going to come to the conclusion to say our fathers have inherited lies. So everybody been sold something, you know. So, I mean, you know, it's just a situation. You know, they have to come to that conclusion, too. And for you all who don't know what that's in, that's Jeremiah chapter 16, verse 19. You know, it's going to come to that point where they have to come. They're not ready yet. They're not ready yet to come to that point. You know, and what it's going to take, I think it's going to take the judging of Yah for them to get, they're getting there. They start now at the point where they're questioning. But for us as a nation, and I see you, Brother Leonard, for us as a nation and the people of Israel as a nation, we've got to be, and that's why I brought this up, we've got to get to the point where we steady ourselves. No matter what, we've got to steady ourselves and be ready to say, okay, 2019 is coming. We all going to get together, and we're going to come together as a nation, and we're going to call on our Elohim. We're going to call on the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. We're going to do that. Because what we have read down through the years, understanding the book, we understand that every time, not one time, not 10 times, but every time the children of Israel came together and called on him, he answered. And we're going to call on him and ask him to forgive us for the things that our ancestors did and forgive us for the things that we did, not knowing who we were. Because just like they agreed to the covenant for us, because they agreed to the covenant for us, we have to be the ones to repent for them. So as we do that, and we know 2019 is coming, we have to also be able to say, okay, you know, we're gonna do this. We're gonna go to Washington D.C. We're going to acknowledge the 400 years in this country, the things that we have gone through in this country, the things that we have had to experience in this country, the good, the bad, and the ugly. And we're going to go down on our knees as a nation. And we're going to ask our Elohim to forgive our ancestors and forgive us, because we'll never get to do this again. Now, once we get up and we brush our knees off and we eat and we do whatever we're going to do for the duration while we're there, and we make it back to our prospective places and the routine starts all over again, believe me, the hecklers and the naysayers going, what happened? Y'all ain't went nowhere yet. But what's going on? And that's when I believe that's why the Most High gave me that sense, that topic the last time we had that class, then we've got to be able to steady ourselves in them 7 days. It may not even be 7 days. It could be 7 years. And we got to say, no matter what, we still waiting on y'all because we still believe that that's what this, even some Israelites going to say that. We told y'all that wasn't a 400 years. That it's, even though we can prove it, they're going to have something to say. We as a people, as those that he's chosen to do this, we got to be able to steady ourselves and say, no matter what it is, we're going to wait on it because we believe it. And he will send somebody by to let us know he heard us because he always has. Hold on a minute. Brother Leonard, your mic is open. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Well, I was just going to say that prophecy about the Gentiles going to say they inherited lies, we witnessing that right now. It's manifesting itself in front of our face. But just like Isaiah 44, 1 through 5, with a lot of people not aware of it, but when Israelites started waking up, that's Isaiah 44, 1 through 5. He said he was going to come at the last days and pour his spirit out upon us, and we was going to start waking up one by one, like willows by a water course. And then he's going to change our name, surname ourselves by the name of Israel. Well, that's what's happening now. So these prophecies have been overtaking us, and a lot of Israelites not aware of it.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I agree with you 100%. Even with them watching, they still, I'm talking about the Gentiles now, they still don't want to accept it 100%. They don't. They're watching, and they some of them have. But at the end of the day, they still kind of holding on to that last little piece. Maybe, you know, or no, or in the back of their mind, yeah. But you know, we don't really want to judge up those old things and the things that we did. We don't really want to do that, you know. So. You know, I don't know how much they are there to really be able to say, you know, that these are the people. No, I don't think they're ready for that yet. They're watching us, though. Without all they watch, and one day definitely are watching. And you know, when, you know, we are... when we are clear to go where we're going and we're able to get down on our knees and do what it is we're going to do, they really going to be watching. Just to see. And when nothing happens, and I'm talking about when nothing happens, because, you know, if the Most High decides to show a sign, he does. But if he doesn't, it's okay too. Because we have to realize that at that point the curse is over and he heard us. Because he always sent somebody by to let you know he heard you. I heard him. Tell him, go tell the children of Israel, I heard them. And I'm going to deliver them out of their situation. I just, you know, but as a people, you know, sometimes that can be a lot for people that are dealing with this for the first time. It can be a lot. No? It takes a lot to be able to even process this. You know, but the biggest thing that I wanted everybody to see from yesterday was that every time he puts us in a captivity, he puts us there, those people have to be judged because they go too far. No. And church was full today. And I always watch them because their churches be full. And they come out of their church and they got their Bibles and they doing what they doing, you know. It does, you know. But I wonder sometimes, you know, do they even process this information, or do they just write it off like it's not a big deal? No. And, you know, and he knew we was going to serve other gods. He sent us here to do that. He did. He said, you're going to be made to serve other gods of wood and stone. since you want to do it, since you want to be with these people, I'm going to put you with them. And not only are you with one god, but they all their gods are here. We're dealing with the Egyptian pantheon. We're dealing with the Greek pantheon. We're dealing with the Roman pantheon. We're dealing with the Indian pantheon. We're dealing with all of it. In the clothes we wear, the cars we drive, all of it. They got their emblems on their cars. They got their emblems on their clothes. Everything we do is dealing with whatever they serve, the deity that they serve. No, that's just the way it is. And our leaders, our so-called leaders, they serving up a god. The black leaders are serving up a god. We're the only ones that represent the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. When you really begin to break it down, I was like, man, this is a lot. And when you can really put that in perspective, you realize how important we really are to him. To him. No?
Yeah, Esau gave them a god just like he gave us one.
He did. And we living among them. We living among them. I remember we were in Cracker Barrel and we were eating, and I remember I was telling Knock, I said, names don't translate. I said the whole Jesus thing came about because of the Septuagint and the Greeks translating the Hebrew Bible into Greek, and they supposedly changed his name to Iglesias. I said, names don't translate. I said, Jesus represents Zeus, the god of the Greek pantheon. And this lady was sitting across from me, and she was just listening. She was of the other nations, and she was just listening. And I really wasn't talking to her, and I wasn't talking loud enough for her to hear it. We were just so close that they had to be able to put it together there. You know, but and it doesn't change, you know, the fact that I can play a clip right now, and that's all they say.
So what's the difference between Jesus and Yahawashi?
Because he's a Hebrew Israelite, and it's no different than them saying Brother Leonard or Brother Leonard's Hebrew name. That's the difference.
Okay.
So if they put his name in there as a Greek god, it doesn't change the story for us.
So he's not white, he's black.
Absolutely. Not only is he black, but he's an Israelite.
Okay, so that's the part that I'm trying to elaborate on. So the only difference between Jesus and Yahawashi is the color.
Well, it depends. I mean, that's a tricky question, but the fact that he's an Israelite.
Okay, but everything that he stands for is the same. It's just one's black and one's white.
You might say that.
All right. I'm just trying to clarify, because that's the point that I was trying to make earlier, that when he said in Deuteronomy 28 and 64, he didn't say you was going to go and change the color of the god. He said you was going to go serve another god. He said you wasn't going to serve me because you wanted to be disobedient, so I'm going to give you away to a people, and you're going to go serve them and their god. So the contrast is Yeshua and JC, the only difference is a color. But
no,
according to
Jacob. That's not the only difference. But I see where you're going. But yeah, that's not the only difference. Because the God that
according
they
to Jacob.
Created,
The
God
Jacob
that they created. I was just going to say the God that they have created that represents. That's supposed to be Jesus is not Yahawashi.
Okay.
They don't even serve Yahawashah when you say, when you bring it to that point. They don't even serve him. They have
so
created
Jacob
a fictitious God.
Uh-huh.
Where they have worshipped this God in replace of him. It's not just that that's his color, and he's just two different beings with different colors. They don't even serve him, period. Because if they did, they would go by his teaching. And they don't go by his teaching. They go by false teaching. That's who they really serve, is Paul. Paul is the one who gave them access to be able to be spiritual Israel, so to speak. Because if they knew his teaching, they would do what he said, because he only did what his father told him to do. He kept the Sabbath. He kept the high holy days. He did all of the things that is written of in the Old Testament. He did those things. But they created this fictitious entity, and then they let Paul come in on the scene, and that's who they really worship, is Paul.
So Jacob tells you in Genesis 48. So Jacob tells you in Genesis 48 who Abraham's God is, who Isaac's God is, and who his God is. He tells you specifically, and so when you look at that, he said that his God is an angel.
Well,
when you come to the New Testament, it's another God. And so all through the Old Testament, we see that this angel, who they sometimes you hear him as the angel of the Lord, sometimes he's presented as the Lord of hosts. He has all these different names, but he's an angel. And he's the one that was given to us in Exodus chapter 23. He says, "Behold, I send an angel before you." And this angel has the ability to pardon your transgressions. Obey
his
voice
and do
what he tells you.
That's kind of iffy. Hold on. Let me hold it. Go ahead. I'm listening.
So if Genesis 48, verse 15 and 16, Jacob tells you that his God is an angel, the one who redeemed him, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, then we got to stop there and pause and think about what we're doing and what we're reading and how we're assessing this. Because, like I said, according to Deuteronomy 28 and 64, he said we would go into a captivity and serve another God. So another, there's no other word for another besides another. It's not going to be me. It's going to be somebody else. And so I don't want to keep going down this road, but the point I'm trying to make is when I look at it as a Hebrew Israelite, from when I came into this thing and what I learned about Yahawashi and JC, and based on my observation, the only difference is color, because they do the exact same thing. The belief is the same. All the stories are the same. All you're doing is instead of seeing a white man, you're seeing a black man. But according to the Old Testament, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is an angel.
Okay, now let me deal with that right quick, real quick. That can't be true. Even though it's written in the form that they came in contact with an angel, if we're worshiping an angel, then we're going completely against Yah's word. And I can take you to Deuteronomy.
Now, is that in the
4.
Old Testament or the New Testament?
Yes, I'm taking you to the Old Testament. I'm taking
you
to Deuteronomy chapter 4, where it completely tells us that we are not supposed to worship any host of heaven under any circumstances anyway. So I don't know who you all think the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is, but he said, "I am your Elohim." I'm not worshiping an angel in the Old Testament under any circumstances.
Elohim
now, what they may have – hold on, let me finish. What they may have thought, they may have thought that was an angel, or however they depicted it, or however it was written. But when he introduced himself to those three people, he said, "I am the Elohim of your forefathers. I'm the Elohim of Isaac, and I'm the Elohim of Abraham." He did not tell them, "I'm the angel of the God of Abraham and Isaac. Now, let me read it real quick for you. Since we're going to go there, I'm just going to throw this out there. Because I don't worship an angel in the Old Testament. I worship the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And it can't be either you worshiping a God or you worshiping an angel. You can't have it both ways. Even though those angels work for him and they do things for him, I don't worship an angel. So here is
okay, can you show me in Deuteronomy? You said Deuteronomy what?
I'm getting ready to.
Oh, okay.
I'm getting ready to show it to you right now. I'm getting ready to read it to you. Deuteronomy chapter 4.
Chapter
it says,
four.
Now
all
therefore
right.
Hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments which I teach you for to do them, that ye may live and go in and possess the land which the Most High Elohim of your fathers giveth you. Ye shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall ye diminish aught from it, that ye may keep the commandments of the Most High your Elohim, which I command you. Your eyes have seen what the Most High did because of Baal-peor, for all the men that followed Baal-peor, the Most High thy Elohim, have destroyed them from among you. But ye that did plead unto the Most High your Elohim are alive, every one of you this day. Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Most High my Elohim commanded me, that ye should do so in the land whither ye go in to possess it. Keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nation, which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this is a great this great nation is a wise and understanding people. For what nation is there so great who have Elohim so nigh unto them as the Most High our Elohim is in all things that we call upon him for? And what nation is there so great that has statutes and judgments so righteous and all this law which I set before you this day? Only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thy eyes have seen, and lest thou depart from thy heart all the days of thy life, but teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons, especially the day that thou stoodest before the Most High thy Elohim in Horeb, when the Most High said unto me, gather me the people together, and I will make them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days that they shall live upon the earth, and that they may teach their children. And ye came near and stood under the mountain, and the mountain burned with fire unto the midst of heaven, with darkness, clouds, and thick clouds. And the Most High spake unto you out of the midst of the fire. You heard the voice of the word, but saw no similitude, only ye heard a voice. And he declared unto you his covenant, which he commanded you to perform, even 10 commandments, and he wrote them upon 2 tables of stone. And the Most High commanded me at that time to teach you statutes and judgments, that ye might do them in the land whither ye go to possess it. Take ye therefore good heed unto yourselves. You saw no manner of similitude on the day that the Most High spoke unto you in Horeb out of the midst of the fire, lest ye corrupt yourselves and make you a graven image, the similitude of any figure, the likeness of a male or a female, the likeness of any beast that is on the earth, the likeness of any winged fowl that flieth in the air, the likeness of anything that creepeth on the ground, the likeness of any fish that's in the waters beneath the earth. Lest thou lift up thy eyes unto heaven, and when thou seest the sun, the moon, the stars, even all the hosts of heaven, should be driven to worship them and serve them, which the Most High thy Elohim divided unto all nations under the whole heaven. But the Most High has taken you and brought you forth out of the iron furnace, even out of Egypt, to be a people, to be unto him a people of inheritance, as ye are this day. So the Most High is telling you then not to worship the host of heaven, and those are the angels. So I don't know where.
Wait, which verse was that you said?
Verse 19. So I don't worship an angel. I worship Yah, and Yah is not an angel under no circumstances. So I don't know where that teaching is coming from, but I don't worship an angel. I worship an Elohim, and he is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So there's no discrepancy between an angel and a God of the New Testament. That's just a whole
other teaching that's
out there. We don't
Exodus 23, he said he sent us
no
an angel.
Circumstances at all whatsoever. We just don't worship angels. And we just not get ready to do that because we don't worship angels under no circumstances. Now, you might, and I'm not going to knock that because I said Israel has a lot of issues that they deal with, but we don't worship angels. We worship the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Hold on. Let me go to Deuteronomy chapter 23. Let me pull that up because I want to make sure we get this on the record because there's a lot of teachings out there, a lot. And we just do not worship any angels. Now, I know the angels work for him, and they do things for him, and they have stepped into place. But even with that, when Jacob wrestled with the angel, I believe that was Yah. Now, they may have put angel in there, but there's no way that we worship in an angel. I'm not. So I'm just letting you know I'm not doing. We don't do it that way. Let me see, Deuteronomy chapter 23, he said, he that is wounded in the stones or had his privacy members cut off shall not enter into the congregation of the Most High. A bastard shall not enter into the congregation of the Most High. Even to his tenth generation he shall not enter into the congregation of the Most High. An Amorite or a Moabite shall not enter into the congregation of the Most High. Even to their tenth generation shall they not enter into the congregation of the Most High forever, because they met you not with bread and with water in the way when ye came out of Egypt, because they hired against thee Balaam, the son of Beor, of Pethor, of Mesopotamia, to curse thee. He said, nevertheless, the Most High thy Elohim would not hearken unto Balaam, but the Most High thy Elohim turn the curse into a blessing unto thee, because the Most High thy Elohim loved thee. Thou shalt not seek their peace nor their prosperity all thy days forever. Thou shalt not abhor an Edomite, for he is thy brother. Thou shalt not abhor an Egyptian. That means you can't hate him, because thou was a stranger in his land. The children that are begotten of them shall enter into the congregation of the Most High in their third generation. When the host pour forth against thy enemy, then keep thee from every wicked thing. If there be among you any man that is not clean by reason of uncleanliness, that changeth him by night, then shall he go abroad out of the camp. He shall not come within the camp. But it shall be when evening cometh on, he shall wash himself with water. And when the sun is down, he shall come into the camp again. Thou shalt have a place also without the camp, whether thou goest forth abroad. Thou shalt have a paddle upon thy weapon. This is when he say, when you poop, you make sure you have it. It shall be when thou shalt ease thyself abroad, thou shalt dig therewith, and shall turn back and cover that which cometh from thee. So he said, when you poop in the ground, make sure you cover it up. For the Most High, thy Elohim, walketh in the midst of thy camp, to deliver thee and to give up thy enemies before thee. Therefore shall thy camp be holy, that he see no unclean thing in thee and turn away from thee. Thou shalt not deliver unto his master the servant which is escaped from his master unto thee. He shall dwell with thee even among you. He shall dwell with thee even among you in that place which he has chose in one of thy gates, where it liketh him best. Thou shalt not oppress him. There shall be no whore of the daughters of Israel, nor a sodomite of the sons of Israel. Thou shalt not bring the hire of a whore or the price of a dog into the house of the Most High thy Elohim for any vow, but for even both these are an abomination unto the Most High thy Elohim. Thou shalt not lend upon usury to thy brethren. Usury of money, usury of victuals, usury of anything that is lent upon usury. Unto a stranger thou mayest lend upon usury, but unto thy brother thou shalt not lend upon usury, but the Most High thy Elohim may bless thee in all that thou settest thy hand to do in the land whither thou goest to possess it. And when thou shalt vow a vow unto the Most High thy Elohim, thou shalt not lack to pay it. for the Most High thy Elohim will surely require it of thee, it would be sin in thee. But if thou shalt forbear the vow, it shall be no sin in thee. That which is gone out of thy lips thou shalt keep and perform, even a freewill offering, according as thou hast vowed unto the Most High thy Elohim, which thou hast promised with thy mouth. When thou comest into thy neighbor's vineyard, when thou mayest eat grapes thy field at thy own pleasure, but thou shalt not put any in thy vessel. When thou comest in the standing of a corn of thy neighbor, then thou mayest pluck ear to thy the ear with thy hand, but thou shalt not move a sickle unto thy neighbor's standing corn. I don't, maybe you had the wrong chapter, I'm not quite sure, but this is verse. Now, I know that the Bible does relate to angels quite a bit. And when Jacob wrestled with the angel, that wasn't just a regular, ordinary angel. You know, and you have got to be able to understand that, because the Bible says angel, we don't worship angels. We're not allowed to worship angels. The Bible clearly says do not worship angels. Now, some people take that literally and they believe angels are not to be worshipped. That is against Yah's word. We're not supposed to worship any angels of any kind. They are there to help Yah. Now, there are theophanies that the Most High allows you to see when he presents himself and whatever image that is that he chooses to present himself. But you know, the children of Israel don't worship angels under no circumstance or pray to angels. So, I mean, you know, the word is used, you know, quite a bit, you know, when it comes to angels in the scripture, but that's not for us to worship them as our gods, because there's a difference between the gods and the angels. Now, you know, I just want to put that out there, because, I mean, you know, a lot of people tend to be, you know, they, like I said, we're a different nation, because we got all kind of beliefs out there, and I respect the brother for his beliefs. If he does, and that's what they believe, I don't have no issue with that. I don't believe in arguing over that kind of stuff, because I'm not going to change it. But when we get to the wilderness, like we just read, the Most High walked among the camps of the children of Israel. There was not an angel. He said, cover up that poop, because when I walked through the camp, I walked through the camp. So it wasn't an angel walking through on his behalf. And a lot of people can't believe that, because they see him in the form of his wildness. But you got to understand, this is an Elohim that can change forms at any time. He can be whatever he want to be, however he chooses to present himself. And that's a hard part for people to see. That's that supernatural part of him that a lot of people can't see. And that's just where we are. All right, area code 928, your mic is open, you're on the air.
Yes, I just want to say that the Messiah was promised to Mary, his mother. He was promised. But an angel does two things, and it distinguishes you from a prophet. An angel does the will of the Father the way that the Messiah did when he died. He said he was faithful even unto death. And he also is sent to bring a message and to also bring a mission. He's got a mission. So the Messiah, he did that. He did all three of those. And we have to distinguish the Messiah from his father, because he came to do the will of his father. And he said, I came in my father's name. So his name has got to start with Yah, because his father's name is Yah. So whether you call him Yahushai or Yehuda or whatever, he comes in his father's name. Make sure you say Yah. But the thing about it is that he said in Mark, in Matthew 4 and 10, and also Mark 4 and 10, he said, worship the only Yah. He said, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shall you serve. So you have got to worship only Yah. So the Messiah said, do not worship him. But we have got this stuff from Christianity to worship the Messiah. We're not supposed to worship anything or anyone besides the Almighty Creator called Yah. That's our
That's
Father.
Right.
That's our Father. So this angel stuff, you're gonna go so far. You're gonna go so far leaning onto your own understanding. But there's coming a time And this lesson right here took us to a new level and a new height on faith. We gotta blessed are those that have not seen but yet believe. So we gotta move past what we can see, what we can hear, what our physical being is telling us, because there's coming a day where we're gonna need what we don't have, and we gotta lean on Yah. We gotta fall upon Yah.
Hallelujah. And you know what? That's what I want to say to everybody. And I don't want you guys to think that I'm angry at my brothers, because I don't. I'm not. You know, I open up the mic and I allow people to express themselves and say certain things, and they believe different because we're a nation. And we believe, we got some on here that only believe in the Old Testament. We have some on here that believe the way Brother Kevin and them believe. And if that's the way they believe, they have a right to believe that way. And we don't knock it. We just don't knock that. That's what they believe. Some people believe in only the Old Testament only, and that's fine too. And some of us believe in the whole Bible. Some of us only believe in the Gospels. I mean, it's so many different variations of the belief. And that's what makes up a nation, because everybody believes what they believe. The only difference is when we get where we're going, all will be settled. So, you know, if I don't believe in trying to make a person see my point of view. I don't. I've grown past that, if that makes any sense. I've grown past
that. No, Yah will prove
himself.
Yah will prove himself. He will prove himself.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. And when you get to the point where you've grown past that, you respect the person for their belief. And you let them believe the way they believe. You know, and that's not where we were going today, but today was just to let you know that there is a faith level that we have to get in spite of what you believe. You know, because we're going to have people that come on this, that we're going to have people that's going to be coming from all walks of life, from Hollywood, from the music industry, that believe in Lucifer. They worship him. That's who they believe. And they're going to be professing to be Israelites. We got to learn how, and that's when you grow up in leadership, because you have to learn how to let people be what they are. And I've gotten past that point. I don't argue with my family. I'm not arguing with this family. We can keep it moving because we got to do what we got to do. We got to get there. And when we go to Washington, D.C., which I hope everybody's going to be there, we got to come to the point where we say, okay, let's go. We going down before the Elohim of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Now, when you bow, you may be thinking you bow before an angel. But when we bow, we bow before the God. You know, and we're going to do that as a whole piece to be able to do that. But we know that Yah is the Father, and that is without any question at all whatsoever. He's the boss. He rules it all, and we have no problem with that at all whatsoever, none. You know? Some people are taught in Christianity that Yah and the Father are the same being. I said, can't be possible. I remember I was doing a radio show on Christianity, and we were talking about Jesus and the Father being one, and the girl said, well, the Father died. I said, he can't die. What are you talking about? We're on a radio show being broadcast over the city. I said, God can't die. What you mean he died? I said, do you know what would happen to the universe if Yah died? There's no death in him. That's some of the stuff we've been through. When I tell you we are a nation, and we have a multiplicity of ways of thinking, it is not no joke. It is not a joke. I'm telling you. I said, God died. I said, oh, my Lord. I remember just rubbing my forehead like, oh, my God. I said, God, honey, God can't die. There's no death in him. He's not. He can't die. So, I mean, there's a whole lot of stuff that we have adopted and brought on and believed, and nobody can change that, because that's something y'all's going to have to change. That's something that y'all's going to have to change. You know, we just got to get to that point. I mean, you know, there's a lot of, that's why we did what we did yesterday, and we gave that scenario about, you know, like he said, no, it's not supposed to be no whores in Israel. and it's not supposed to be among the daughters of Israel, and it's not supposed to be no sodomites among the sons of Israel. And, you know, I remember I told y'all that that's a punishment, punishable unto death, but we're not in our own land, and we can't do that because it's, that's murder here. And the man killed his, he was an Israelite, and he killed his girlfriend's son, 7 years old, because he was exhibiting signs of homosexuality. It's some crazies over here that is doing some crazy things. We just don't want that for the nation of Yehuda. We're not exhibiting that kind of behavior. We're trying to make sure that we keep a healthy balance between it all and allow people to believe where they are and be where they are. And to let you know that that's for you. That's just for you. You know, so, I mean, you know, it's one of those things, you know, that we have to get to the point what to be able to do. Now, let me get to the business at hand, because we're turning in the application on Wednesday for the Lincoln Memorial for our Plan B in Washington, D.C. on September. They have a fee. There's a fee involved in it. And we have to be able to send this fee in when we go in. The general application fee is $120. We did take up some of it yesterday when we had our meeting. We're asking everybody who can to be able to please donate something to our PayPal account. And remember, I told you we were going to be doing this in spurts, so we're going to get this application up. This application gives us total access to that whole area, complete with security guards and everything. So we have to make sure that we do that. And it's $120 for the application fee, and it's $90 for the media package that we have. So I'm going to give you the email address to our PayPal account. If you can, we would like for you to donate something to our account. We said yesterday we asked everybody to donate $10. Some people donated more. I appreciate what you did. But the email address to our PayPal account is Nation of Yehuda, and Yehuda is spelled YEHUDAH at yahoo.com. Nation of Yehuda at yahoo.com. Now, if you can do that, we would like for you to do that through PayPal, because we're going to mail this off on Wednesday, and we want to put the money into it, the application, and mail it off on Wednesday. Now, that doesn't mean you can't mail something if you would like, because there's going to be other things that are going to come up that we're definitely going to need. But this is something that has to go with the application. So, like I said, we have some people have donated yesterday. I thank you all for doing that and for the amount that you sent. We appreciate that very, very much. But for the rest of you all that are here, if you would like to do that, please, we would like, I won't even say donate, because the IRS told me don't say donate. Because when you say donate, you have to be a 501c3. So let me say that. Anyone who would like to gift us something, they said say gift. If you want to gift us something, we would like for you to be able to gift us something through our PayPal account. And the PayPal address is nationofyehuda@yahoo.com. And you just give it to family and friends and gift us something to help us to come up with this amount. So, like I said, if you could do that to between now and Wednesday, that would be excellent, because I am going to definitely make sure that this gets in the mail Wednesday. Now, the government is on shutdown, and, of course, we're going to mail it up there, seeing that we don't know how long they're going to be on shutdown, but in the meantime, hopefully they are processing this information, and we do have those dates available as what they told us. So I told him last night that I was going to announce this today, and we would like for everyone who would like to gift us something to please help us out with this so we can get this done. Because once we get this done, we'll be able to secure our travel arrangements and all of that stuff. This is our Plan B. And we think that Plan B is probably going to work out better than Plan A. We'll have to see what happens, but there's no restrictions here. We can sing, we can blow the shofar as much as we want. We can do what we need to do and have our program set up in that area. So if you can do that, again, if you would like to gift us something, the email address for PayPal is Nation of Yehuda, and Yehuda is spelled YEHUDAH at yahoo.com. So I want to make sure I put that out there. All right, so if anyone else want to push one, please feel free to do that. We can definitely carry something else if you guys would like to discuss something. We can definitely do that and make that happen. But we, like I said, I appreciate everyone coming on here today. Hold on, area code 704, your mic is open.
Thank you. I just wanted to make a quick comment. It's mm-hmm. it's very important as leaders of the nation. I'm glad that you make clarity to the world of what we stand for, who Elohim is, and we are going to serve him according to his will and his word as a nation. It's very important that you stay on point like you have by letting people know, so because people are going to approach us from all different walks of life trying mm-hmm. to break up the nation, to try to cast confusion. Mm-hmm. So it's important that you always give them the clarity with an explanation point of who Elohim is, that is our God, and that's who we serve.
Hallelujah. Thank you so much for that. That's what we try to do. And keep it fair to everybody. We give everybody an opportunity to say something. You know, I don't believe in debating, you know, and none of that. I just believe everybody has the right to make, you know, and, you know, it is what it is. I mean, like I said, we all have different beliefs. And we're a nation that has been spoiled. We have been taken through the ringer. We're in all kind of denominations and all kind of stuff, even the Israelites. It's a whole lot of teachings out there among the Israelites. So it's a lot, you know, to have to be able to endure, because there's so many different teachings out there that we have to, you know, we'll hear you out, you know, we hear what you have to say, but sometimes it's difficult because it turns into a debate or you know, I want to be able to share my point. But if that's what you believe, then that's what you believe. You know what I'm saying? I don't believe in arguing or falling out over beliefs, because it's going to be what it's going to be. Nothing's going to change. We're going to hang up this phone and everybody's going to go back to what they was doing. You know, but we know that we believe in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and he is our Elohim and we are his people. And we, you know,
that's right.
That's the biggest thing, you know, that we have to understand. And Yah is the Father, and we believe that
Father.
He is, and nobody else can take his place.
That's it.
Yeah. So we
Thank
do believe
you.
That, and we love him. We love Yah, you know. All right, anybody else want to push one to have a comment not spoken?
I want to say something.
Yes, ma'am.
I'd like to say something. Brother Leonard, I want you to know that I love each and every one of you, and I'm not trying to push my belief on anybody, but it's important, I believe, that we stay fluid, because when we get to the land, it may not be like we had envisioned it, and I don't want anybody to be lost, including me. So if I come off strong, it's because I'm passionate about this mission. We have a mission to do, and I want everybody, especially the people I know and I've heard of, to make it. And I love you dearly. I just want you to know that I love you. I love each and every one of you, and I know that it's not going to be easy these 8 months coming up, but I believe we're gonna make it. I pray for each and every one of us, and I enjoy each and every one of you teaching me. You've taught me a lot, and I read the word. I just want you to know that I don't have any animosity against you. I'm just passionate about this mission, and I really want to see everybody there. I really do.
All right. Thank you for your comment. Hallelujah. We appreciate your comment. Everybody, I think I have put everybody back on mute for a reason. Anybody who has not spoken, we'd like you to push one. If you have something you would like to say. Anybody who has not spoken, if you want to say something, you know, if not, we're going to go ahead and end the show. We got to know when the conversation is over. You know, and we take this into a positive, we're going to take this out in a positive way. We appreciate everybody's support. We appreciate your commitment, that you have been diligently committed to the Nation of Yehuda, to the radio show, to the classes, to everything. And we thank you all for doing that. You know, as we come closer to this time, You know, we're prayerfully humbled and ready to go before the Most High in the capacity that we will. We're trying to solidify a place and make sure we have a place to go. So we're working on, we have plan A, we're working on plan B, we're putting plan C together, and we're going to do plan D, you know, and we're going to do it the way we do it because we're going to get it done one way or the other. So, you know, I just want to say that to you all, for you all who have been supportive in the years and you may not be able to do that now, we still thank you. We love you for everything that you have put together to help us get to this point because we didn't get here by ourselves. You know, some people that have been with me for a long time have given out of their last, and you know who you are. And I love you to death for it. You have always been there for us. You have given when you could, and when you can't, you can't. But I don't think that we don't appreciate what you did when you could because we know, you just don't know how many times, you know, that they have come through, and I appreciate all of you, and I love you all for it. And on that note, I want to say, you know, shalom, shalom to everybody. You know, this is New Year's. Their New Year's is coming up. Our New Year's is in March, but their New Year's is coming up, and we're going to change with their New Year because we have to go along with this system because of what we're in. You know, and to everybody, you know, I say Happy New Year's to you in 2019. You know, the next time that we talk, it will be 2019. We won't talk again until 2019. You guys be safe. Be careful, you know, be in prayer. We're going to pray for our families and everything and be here. We will be here Tuesday night, Brother Kevin, Brother Leonard. I expect you to be here with bells on. Don't think I don't love you, but, you know, we you know how we do it. We ain't changed. No, I love you both dearly. And Brother Yerushalayim and Sister Rachel and the sis that was on here and the brother that spoke up. We just thank you all so much. Hold on, I think I got somebody else. Area code 904. Your mic is open. Go ahead.
Hi. I just wanted to share with you that a lot of what you spoke on, especially about all the different teachings that are going on with the Hebrew Israelites, it really touched me because that's something that I've been going through. I had to take a step back and kind of shut everything for a moment because there was so much stuff out there. And with all the voices, you know, all the teachings and everything that you hear, it can be a bit confusing. So sometimes, you know, it is good to step back and allow the Father to really just speak and not really hear so many voices of other people because of the different teachings. So I just wanted to share that, you know, that really hit home for me because that's something that I've definitely been going through and that I needed to actually, you know, get a peace of mind and really hear the Father because there's so much out there. And, you know, it brings a lot of confusion, just like you spoke. And we know that the Father isn't the author of that. And for me, I need to step back. So I appreciate it. It hit home for me because that really is the truth, you know. And I love you, you know. So just want to say that touched home for me. That touched home for me.
All right, well. Thank you for your comment. I'm glad we was able to help you in that capacity and that we were able to bring that. You know, I understand what we've been there. We all going through it now. So, you know, like I said, you guys be careful over the weekend, you know, over tomorrow night because everybody's going to be drinking and fooling and gun shooting and all that old kind of crazy stuff. Please be careful, Israel. Pray for your neighborhood. Pray for your family. Pray for this country. Pray for our exit strategy and our 2019 gathering. And we will see you Tuesday night at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time so that we can come together and keep this moving and encourage one another because as you can see, as you can hear, it's working. We're doing what we need to do to help us get through this. And on that note, we say shalom, shalom, everybody. Have a wonderful rest of your evening and enjoy next week. Shalom, everybody. Good night.